some right there on the first pew there. All right, so today we're going to continue on with the Lenten series that I'm working on, which is called By His Wounds We Are Healed. And we're talking about wounds of life that we, wounds of the past that we are forgiven from, that we no longer are bound by because of the reason and the fact that Christ went to the cross and was resurrected. Last week we talked about the wounds of dishonoring the Sabbath or disobeying the Sabbath. We talked about how Christ specifically gave us freedom from that. And today we're going to talk about how Christ freed us from the wounds of authority. This Lenten observance, this time of reflection that we have been going through over these last several weeks, reminds us how low we've been brought by our sin. I don't think that you can look around your community, look around however close or far away you want to go, whether it's the world, whether it's your family, whatever, that you can't see the effects of sin, of the fall from creation, from the time that He created perfect Eden until today in our life. The effects that of the decision that Adam and Eve have made, that humanity has made for God's creation and for our own lives, are evident every single day. But it's also a reminder this season that we also have freedom, that we have been given mission, that we have hope of an eternal life with God, and that that perfect creation that God made when He created the earth and He created humanity and He created all of the things that we see, hear, touch, feel, think about, they'll be restored to perfection. They will be restored to perfection. This verse, Exodus 20:12, is one of the Ten Commandments. It's a verse that I know that you have read many times. It's probably one that some of you or all of us have rolled our eyes at, as I'm sure that your parents used it to remind you of their authority, right? 20 verse 12. Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Some unique things about this particular verse. This is the first commandment that He gives that actually has a reward attached to it. The first one. The Old Testament, if you honor your father and your mother, you will have a long life in the land the Lord your God is giving you. He promised the Israelites that if they would honor their mother and their father, that they would have a long life. Now, many people, my stepdad, who just would have celebrated his birthday this week, he used his interpretation of that verse was that if you didn't follow and give them love and affection and understanding, that they would take your life. So essentially, his idea was this was a promise that if you didn't do what you were supposed to do, that your mom and dad might just, you know, kill you, right? Or shun you out into the wilderness. So I'm not sure about that interpretation. But that was the interpretation that my stepdad gave to me as he was making sure I understood what I was supposed to do with mom and dad, right? Exodus 20 verse 12 is one of those verses, as I said, that we finally see a promise of reward in these Ten Commandments that Moses gives to the people. This is the first one of those that gives a promise of something if they would take an action. The Epistle of Ephesians, in Ephesians chapter 6, if you want to turn there and look at verses 1 through 4, it says this in his letter to Ephesians. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with the promise, so that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And it goes on in Ephesians 6 verses 1 through 4 to say, "And fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." So we're seeing a command here where Jesus had given to his apostles an instruction, that a little elaboration on how this honor is supposed to come. And that is because the father has an obligation to instruct his family, his children, in the works of the Lord. In John chapter 19, verses 12 through 16, we see Pilate trying to release Jesus. But the Judeans cried out, "If you release this man, you are no friend of the emperor. Everyone who claims to be a king sets himself against the emperor." So they use this authority issue against Jesus by telling Pilate that if he sets Jesus free, he has no respect for authority. He doesn't respect Caesar. He is a traitor. When Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus outside and he sat on the judge's bench at a place called the Stone Pavement, or in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And this was during the day of the preparation for the Passover, which was to start the next day. And it was about noon. And he said to the Judeans, "Here is your king." And they cried out, "Away with him, away with him." They didn't want this authority. They dishonored the authority of God by refusing to recognize him as the king of Israel. And Pilate asked him, "Shall I crucify your king?" And the chief priest answered, "We have no king but the emperor." I don't know about you, but if we went to the king or the queen of England and you were in their court and you were standing in their place and you went to them and told them that they weren't your king, that you served the king of France, that would be a problem, wouldn't it? And so here were the priests of God's temple telling God that he was not the king, that they were going to serve Caesar. Now, I don't know, again, about you, I can't speak for your life, but I can tell you that there have been many times in my life that I have stood in the court of God, and I have looked him square in the eye, and I have told him that I will serve the world, that I will serve my God at that moment, right? We choose to sin and to dishonor his authority over our life. We don't recognize something that we already know because we want something easier or something that makes us look better or something that gives us something that we want. A selfish decision. Dealing with authority can be very difficult. On the one hand, it is to be honored and respected, and from the very basic and foundational idea of a mother and a father, the authority that is vested in our parentage, to the authority of governments and nations. And on the other hand, we probably have more than enough encounters with authority where those charged with care and responsibility for others fail in that duty. Kings and queens, presidents, congressmen, senators, pastors, whatever, fail us every day. But authority is supposed to be for our good. God set this up. It's a gift for our life and the lives of our neighbors. Mothers and fathers are meant to care for their children, right? I think we understand that. It's a basic understanding, a basic human understanding, that we have a responsibility as parents, if you have a child, to care for them. That's easier to do for some than others. Some choose not to do it at all. A president, a congressman, a senator, someone in government authority has a responsibility to do what? To serve and care for those who elected them, right? Or whom they represent. That's ultimately always been the case. Church leaders are called shepherds for a reason. Shepherds have a responsibility, a charge, to take good care of their flocks. And as such, authority serves a loving service to others. And it is something that we need in our society and in our homes and in our nation. But we are also aware that authority can be and sometimes is less than loving and caring in its role. And that doesn't mean that it has to be disregarded and thrown away, because even as we see the story, and we know the story of Jesus Christ, he didn't just completely disobey the authority of Caesar, did he? He actually went to his death and allowed that judgment to be carried through. And so even when it is a wretched or a wrong decision, we see examples in the Bible where the Lord still submitted. And it can become authoritarian. There are opportunities, things in our history that we can look back and see all kinds of authoritarian and tyrannical rulers in our world, where the rights of people are neglected for the sake of the authority's own pursuit of power. It can be lax and therefore not help to even safeguard the rights of any people. The poorest and the most vulnerable among us can be taken advantage of. And authority is still a principle that God put in place. The real purpose, the real obedience, the real reason, the power of Jesus coming and dying on the cross, the wounds of dishonoring authority that he accepted upon him, was the fact that this obedience that was demanded by authority is actually supposed to be loving service. In other words, the authority that God had over his people was supposed to serve, and he did serve them in many ways. He provided for their care, and they chose to dishonor God. We, as humans, decided to dishonor God by not following his commands, by disregarding what it was that he would have us to do. Part of the role of those who are under authority is to exemplify the love that authority is supposed to provide. And this may be even in calling the authority back to its role of service for the sake of others. In some extreme cases, this may also include disobedience to one authority for the sake of a higher authority. An example of that is Peter. Peter was once ordered by civil authorities never to speak in the name of Jesus, but Peter disobeyed. And he said in Acts chapter 5, verse 29, "We must obey God rather than any human authority." And there are also similar responses to this abuse of authority by humans and the call to a higher authority throughout the history of the church, as well as in civil society. Again, I pointed out to you the arraignment where Pilate is arraigning Jesus. And Pilate presumes that he has authority over Jesus and everyone else in the land of Judea just because Caesar has given him that authority, because they conquered this land and the land of Judea to which he was assigned as governor. But Jesus' authority is ever present, even in his silence before Pilate. You see, Jesus was sent by God to restore all of humanity, ourselves. And so to be sure, even his critics and even Pilate before he stood had some idea of the power and authority that Jesus had. And Jesus puts on a public display that through his wounds and through his suffering, even unto death on the cross, the authority of God's promising mission is greater than anything the world can offer. There's nothing that anyone could have done any better than what God did. Now, I want to assure you that sometimes authorities have to make difficult decisions. Even in the gospel reading that we had today in Ephesians, Pilate sought to release Jesus, even as the critics of Jesus were calling for his execution. His final concession to their wishes that Pilate made would seem to be what has happened time and time again in history, where the victim is rendered up for the suffering for the sake of an angry mob. We call this majority rules. Instead of protecting the most vulnerable amongst us. But by his wounds, we are healed. As Jesus makes his way to Golgotha, the place of death, we see the contrast between the authority of Jesus Christ and the authority of humanity. Legal authority is finally penultimate to the authority of the gospel, which is ultimate and final. What do I mean by that? What I mean is, it doesn't matter what happens here on earth. Ultimately, God is going to have the final say. His grace will cover our sins. He promised us through the death of Christ on the cross. There isn't anything that any government authority can say about you, do about you, or cover you with that God can't forgive or take away when he chooses to render his judgment if you've accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior. He is the ultimate authority. He is the ultimate authority. When Jesus spoke from the cross, he said three words. What were they? It is finished. When he said it was finished, was it done? Yes. He had the authority to declare that the sins of the world were no longer going to be able to condemn the individuals, the people like you and me who live today, and that all of the things of the past have been forgiven. It is finished. It also meant that his life was over, that he chose to give up his life at that moment. It is finished. Pilate had condemned him to death many hours before, but ultimately God decided. He meant that all the judgments of the world, even the judgment of death itself, was rendered mute, irrelevant. However much the authority of the law may hold us accountable to death, death itself is conquered by the one who bore it for our sake, so that peace and life, restoration and hope, peace, life, restoration, and hope. Are those the things that you think about when you think about the authority of humanity? No. I think about, restrictions, right? That we're going to stop people from doing this, that, or the other. That we're going to create an environment that allows for the benefit of one group to the contrary of another. But God chose to give us peace and life and restoration and hope. And the authorities of this world have no way to stop the beating heart of that. And so he healed us of the wounds of many of the people of Israel, of all of the Old Testament decisions that were made, all of Adam and Eve's decisions when they were in the Garden of Eden to disobey what God had told them to do. All of that was healed. Their dishonoring of the authority of God was forgiven. And as I said, to say that Jesus did not obey authority when he was here on earth would be untrue. Because he did obey it. He accepted the path to crucifixion and death. But he also chose to recognize that they would not defeat him. Just as we have to recognize that, yes, I am a human being living in Blanchard, Pennsylvania. I have an obligation to follow the laws and the authority of the people who govern this area, right? And there are those folks. There's a county, there's a state, there's all kinds of rules and regulations and things that we have to do. As much as I hate the speed limit, as much as I hate the zoning laws that I have to go get permission of somebody to put a new piece of siding up on my house, or you see what I'm talking about? All these ridiculous things is a recognition of authority. And I have to submit to those things because I'm living life in the world. But what I need to understand is that when I am not able to meet the the guidelines or whatever it is that the law may require of me in this world, that ultimately I'm going to be forgiven, that ultimately that hope, that restoration, that peace, that life that God promised us, Jesus at the cross gives us the ability to accept that, despite our failures and everything that happens here. The love that is given to us and to all authorities in this world as well, so that the compassionate heart of service for others may find new roads into the world, and the cry of anger and abuse and death may finally come to an end in the fullness of Jesus' authority. In many ways, our world has taken this authority principle, this idea of taking care of somebody, and they've perverted it. They've twisted it into something that is self-serving. And so when we think of authority, a lot of times in our minds, that's a negative thing, isn't it? How many of you like going to the DMV? Anybody? I didn't see any hands go up. All of you probably in the last week to 10 days got a tax bill, right? If you live here in this area, we got it from our friendly tax collector. Again, how many of you enjoy getting those bills in the mail? Anybody? How many of you enjoy getting a tax bill in the mail? I just filed my federal tax return. I filed my federal, you know, and then I moved to Pennsylvania, so now you even have a local school district tax return. Another 1.5% of my money that gets taken, right? Can you tell I really enjoy submitting to authority in that regard? But the fact of the matter is that they turned off my microphone. Krista has authority. Battery's probably dying. Anyway, so that's a sign it's about time to wrap it up, huh? The wounds of dishonoring authority, the wounds of the realization that we have no ability to meet the requirements of authority here on the earth, or that we have no way by ourselves to meet what it is that God wants us to do. And so he had to come here to the earth and die on the cross so that you and I could have hope of restoration, of peace, of life, all the things that we hold to be Jesus freed us from that. And that's what this Lenten season is about, is remembering the hope that he has given to us. That no matter our failures, that we have the opportunity, to have this life with God. As we prepare to stand and sing our invitation hymn, Have You Any Room for Jesus, hymn number 478. If you haven't accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to talk with you about that. Don't leave this place without finding what that peace and that love and that restoration is all about. Because he frees you from the fact that you will probably fail at some point or another to meet the expectations of the authority of the earth. And I know that we all will fail in meeting the authority of God and recognizing him as a supreme being in our lives at some point or another. We've all sinned, right? The Bible says so. The Bible says it, I believe it, and that's the end of it. We all have sinned. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Look to your left, look to your right. Look in the mirror today when you get home. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Have you any room for Jesus? If you would stand and sing these verses with me.